Thank you to our sister for coming and singing those lovely pieces, and we pray the Lord will bless those great words of truth to every heart and soul in this meeting. We thank our sister for coming, and we pray the Lord will richly bless her and use her for His honour and glory as she sings the great message of the gospel. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to John's Gospel, chapter number 3. We're turning to John's Gospel, chapter number 3. And I just want to read one verse with you tonight from this chapter. And it is the verse number 16 of John's Gospel, chapter number 3. Let me just read that verse with you, John chapter 3. And the verse number 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And with this verse just before us and God's word open before us, let us unite just in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence in this meeting tonight already. We thank Thee for the gospel hymns and our sister's ministry and song. And Father, bless those messages to every heart, and do bless our sister that brought them, and use her, Lord, for Thine honour and for Thy glory, we pray. Lord, as we turn now to Thy precious and Thy holy word, our prayer is that Thou wilt open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law tonight. And Father, I pray that Thou wilt use Thy word this night to make souls wise unto salvation. To this end, O God, cleanse me afresh in the Saviour's blood. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. And give help and enablement and grace, Lord, to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Lord, as Thy word goes forth, draw sinners to Thyself in salvation. Bless and encourage the saints of God. And O God, glorify Thine own great name. For we ask this all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. Now, generally speaking, people delight in hearing about a love story. No doubt over the years, there have been many books written about love stories, and recent times, many films made about love stories. No doubt some of those are fiction, while others are based upon fact. Well, friends, the greatest love story of all is that which we find here in this great verse tonight, John chapter 3, and the verse number 16. Now, these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. He had heard about the Lord Jesus and His miracles, but he wants to find out more. So under the cover of darkness, he has a personal interview with Christ. And in this conversation, Christ tells him about his great need of being born again, of the new birth. Look at what Christ says to him in verse number 7. He says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And the new birth there, it refers to the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, whereby a sinner repents of his sin and puts his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Nicodemus was a wealthy man. In his day, he would have been a very well-educated man. Yet he himself could not understand what it meant to be born again. Look at what he says to the Lord in verse 4 and verse 9 of the chapter. He says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Again in verse 9, he asks the question, "How can these things be?" And in response to those questions, the Lord Jesus Christ then proceeds to show Nicodemus the meaning, and indeed the marks of one who is born again. And this he does in particular in verses 14 and 15 of the chapter, where he says to Nicodemus, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There the Lord Jesus Christ was showing Nicodemus that everyone who is born again is one who is trusting in the sacrifice of Christ for their salvation. And it's following on then from this that Christ tells Nicodemus about the greatest love story of all. And this he does in verse 16, our text for this evening, where he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in these words, Christ gives Nicodemus some wonderful instruction regarding God's wonderful love. And friends, it is that same instruction about the wonderful love of God that I want you and I to think about just in the remaining part of this gospel meeting tonight. Notice first of all here the revelation of God's love. Notice how Christ begins this verse as he speaks here to Nicodemus. He says, "For God so loved the world." You'll notice that little word "for" there. It is a connecting word. And by that word, Christ wanted Nicodemus to realize that the new birth was the direct fruit, the direct outworking of the love of God. You'll notice also there that the Lord Jesus Christ uses the word "world." And that word "world" there, it really refers to the inhabitants of this earth. Thus you see there how God is one who has love for people. People of all creeds, of all colors, of all classes in this world. Hence Jesus says, "For God so loved the world." Indeed, the Bible speaks of God and says, God is love. You know, one of the great unchanging attributes of God is this. It is his love for all kinds of people, all types of people. You think of that word "love" there that the Lord Jesus Christ uses. It speaks really of God's mercies, the mercies of God. It speaks of the kindnesses of God. And God is one who showers countless mercies. He showers countless kindnesses upon mankind. Indeed, thinking about those mercies and those kindnesses toward him, David the psalmist could say that they are more than can be numbered. In other words, they're vast. They're beyond all human comprehension. And friend, this is something that God would want you and I to realize in this gospel meeting tonight. Yes, he wants you to see the revelation of his love. Yes, he wants you to understand that God, the God of heaven, the God of eternity, is one who loves you. God has a special love for you and toward you. Can I say that the devil, and indeed the world, would want to blind you, dear friend, to this great truth? They want you to remain oblivious to this truth. The devil and the world would want to conceal this truth from your heart, from your mind, and from your soul. In fact, the devil, indeed the world, would want you to think that God is one who is void of love. They would want you to think that God is one who is void of grace. They would want you to think that God is only full of anger, and God is only full of vengeance, and God is only full of wrath. That's the devil's ploy. That's the world's deception. We must say tonight that nothing could be further from the truth. Yes, God is one who will take vengeance on the devil. He is one who will take vengeance upon the ungodly. Indeed, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Yet God is also one who is full of compassion. He has boundless stores of love and mercy and kindness and grace and charity. If you turn in your Bible back to Psalm number 86 and the verse number 15. You'll see that as David here prays in this great prayer, and as he speaks to us about the Lord, notice how he addresses the Lord in verse number 15 of Psalm 86. He says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." Get a grasp of that tonight. God is one who is full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous and mercy and truth. What a God the God of heaven is. He's full of compassion. Really, the words of no preacher can fully fathom and describe the love of God and the fullness of the compassion of God. Words cannot fully describe and paint the picture for you of God's grace and God's long-suffering and the kindness and the multitude of the mercies of God. Yet, friend, as you would sit in this meeting tonight, this is a truth that Christ himself wants you to see. This is a truth that he wants you to understand. Hence he speaks these words not just for the benefit of Nicodemus, but also for your benefit in this meeting tonight when he says in this great text, "For God so loved the world." Christ wants you tonight to see and to understand and to appreciate the love of God. Oh, the hymn writer rightly says, "God loved a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall." And by this revelation of God's love toward you, I tell you, it's a revelation that you can rely upon. It's a revelation that you can confide in. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ always spoke the truth. He is the truth. The Bible speaks of Christ and says of Christ in him, there was no guile, there was no deception in the words of Christ. His words are altogether true. And he says to your heart and to mine tonight, "For God so loved the world." God is a God of love. God is a God of grace. He's a God of compassion. Yes, you see here the revelation of God's love. But notice secondly tonight the evidence of God's love. You look again at John chapter 3 there, verse 16. And note in particular these words. It says of God, "He gave his only begotten Son." And there you have the evidence of the love of God. There the Lord Jesus Christ tells Nicodemus that the great proof of God's love is the giving of his Son to this world. And when Christ talks there about God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about himself to Nicodemus. You see, Christ was one who lived with God the Father in heaven for all of eternity past. The Bible speaks of Christ in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse 1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word." That word "Word" is a title for Christ. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And Christ was with God the Heavenly Father for all of the countless ages of eternity past. Yet the Bible also tells us how he took upon himself a perfect human nature. And he was born of the Virgin Mary through being miraculously conceived in her womb by the power of God the Holy Ghost. The angel spake to Mary about that very fact in the Gospel of Luke, and it says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Thus Christ, he came into this world as God's only begotten Son. As you read the Gospels, you'll see how God the Father testified of this very fact. At the baptism of Christ in Jordan, and also at his transfiguration, God the Father spoke from heaven in regard to Jesus Christ. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And my in love for the redemption of sinners, what did God do? He gave his sinless Son, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ,
up to die upon the cross for sinners. And by that atoning sacrifice to God, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He paid the price of redemption. He made a way for sinners to be redeemed from the awful ruin and plight of their sin. The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Bible speaks to you about the Lord Jesus Christ in the prophecy of Isaiah. And there in Isaiah chapter 53, it says of Christ that he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And that speaks of his death, his sufferings, his sacrifice upon the cross, as our sister was singing about earlier on in this gospel meeting tonight. Oh friend, let me say to you this evening, the great proof of God's love to the sinful, fallen world, it is this fact, that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to die upon the cross and to make a way of redemption for sinners. This past summer, during our holiday season, we had the tremendous privilege of visiting some of the war graves associated with World War I in the land of Belgium. And it was certainly a privilege to see those sites and to see the war graves of many of the British and Commonwealth soldiers who gave their life in that awful carnage, in that awful conflict. And the sacrifice of so many young men in their teens and early 20s, it is overwhelming to see and to read about on the gravestones in those cemeteries associated with that awful war. That was a tremendous sacrifice. But friend, the greatest of all sacrifices is that of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, coming and dying upon the cross. Speaking about that very same sacrifice, Jesus Christ says, "Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The revelation of God's love. The proof of God's love. But my notice here in the third place tonight, notice the purpose of God's love. Look again at John chapter 3 and verse number 16. And notice in particular these words where Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and says, "Should not perish, but have everlasting life." And there Christ tells Nicodemus that the great purpose of God's love in Christ's redeeming sacrifice was to save perishing sinners. It was to give such everlasting, eternal life. You just stop there for a moment and pause and think about that word perish there that the Lord uses in the latter part of that verse. I want you to think about that word perish. What does it mean? Indeed, that word perish would remind you of the awful consequences, the awful plight and ruin of man's sin. You see, you and I, we were born into this world sinners by nature and sinners by practice. David could say, "Behold, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity." And you and I, we were born into this world sinners by nature, sinners by practice. And what does that mean in our lives by nature? It means this: that you and I are born into this world with a nature that is dead to God. As the Bible says, we have a nature that is dead in trespasses and in sins. That means a nature that is void or empty of any natural inclination whatsoever toward God and the things of God. That's the awful plight of sin. It means that we are void of any desire, naturally speaking, towards God. There's something else that comes with sin. Sin separates us from God. You remember what the prophet Isaiah said to Israel of old? He said, "Your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God and have hid his face from you." And sin separates us from God in this life. Make no mistake about that. Not only does it leave us dead as far as God is concerned, not only does it separate us from God, our sin condemns us, each one, to a lost eternity in hell. That place what the Bible calls the lake of fire. That place which is a place of eternal, endless punishment for sin. How awful is the plight, how awful is the ruin of sin in mankind. Turn over, please, with me to Romans chapter 3. And look with me just at verses 10 through to the end of the verse number 12. And here the Apostle Paul shows us something of the awful plight of sin, the awful ruin, the awful havoc of sin in the life of all mankind. And look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 3 in the verse number 10. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That is God's verdict upon all mankind. Because of their sin, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Indeed, the Bible goes on in Romans 6 to say the wages of sin is death. That speaks of separation, yes, from God in this life, but it also speaks of separation from God in eternity to come. And that place which the Bible calls and warns about, called hell. And friend, in our meeting tonight, this is what it means to perish in your sin. If you are still unsaved in this gathering this evening, this is your plight before God. Please understand this tonight. You are perishing in your sin. And because of your sin, you are far off from God. Because of your sin, you are separated from God. And because of your sin, you are bound already to a lost eternity in hell itself. That is the sentence that has been passed upon you. The Bible says you are condemned already. Oh, please see the awful gravity of this situation, the awful gravity of this word perish. As you think of yourself tonight unsaved and apply it to your own heart, to your own life, to your own soul, to your own circumstances. What an awful plight, what an awful predicament that the Lord sets before you as he mentions this word perish in his conversation to Nicodemus. But dear friend, the good news is tonight that God's love is such that he offers to you, you who perish in your sin, he offers to you the gift of eternal life through the sacrifice of a son. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said there to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 verse 16. He says that should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what God offers you tonight in the gospel through his love. You who perish in your sin, God offers to you eternal life through his Son. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say, I am come that you might have life, might have it more abundantly? Does not the Bible say the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? What does this life mean, this everlasting life? It means the pardoning, the forgiveness of all of your sins. So you see, speaking about all those who have everlasting life, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It means the forgiveness of all of your sins before God. It also means that you have peace with God, that you have fellowship with God. Again, speaking of those who have everlasting life, the Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were afar off, have now been made nigh by the blood of Christ. And it also means power to live for God. Again, speaking of those who have everlasting life, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then ultimately, this life, it means the blessing of eternal glory in heaven itself. You remember what David said at the end of Psalm 17? He was thinking about heaven. He says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And there David was thinking about heaven. Everlasting life, everlasting glory. Where there is no more death, where there is no more sin, where there is no more suffering, where there is no more tears, where there is no more sickness. Where the former things are passed away. This is what this everlasting life entails, dear friend. Forgiveness of sins. Peace with God, your maker. Grace to live the Christian life here on earth. And the great assurance of a home in heaven. You know, at Christmas or maybe a time of a birthday or some other special occasion, you and I, we give gifts to those that we love and those that are dear to us. Well, friend, in love for your soul, God offers you tonight the greatest of all gifts. That is the great gift, the great prize, the great treasure of eternal life for your soul. And he offers you that eternal life through his only begotten Son, through the sacrifice of the sinless Son of God, who poured out his life unto death upon the cross and cried out, "It is finished." Oh, what a gift he offers to you. Yes, you see here the revelation of God's love. You see the evidence of God's love, the purpose of God's love. But notice finally here from John 3 and 16, notice the reception of God's love. And look at particular there in the middle of verse number 16 when the Lord speaks here to Nicodemus and he says that whosoever believeth in him, notice those words, underline them in your Bible, whosoever believeth in him. That word believeth there, it means to commit oneself to another person. It means to trust in that other person. That word whosoever there, it means all kinds, all who will believe. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ here was telling Nicodemus that anyone who believes on Christ as Savior and commits the salvation of their soul to him and trusts in him and rests upon his sacrifice alone for their salvation, upon that person, upon that soul, God will bestow and God will give this wonderful gift of eternal life. Of life everlasting. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was spelling out there to Nicodemus that night. And friend, the good news of the gospel is this. The moment you trust Christ to be your Savior, the moment you commit the salvation of your soul to him, realizing he died on the cross for you, confessing your sins to him and asking him by faith to become your Savior, the moment you trust him, you too will become an inheritor of this great gift of life eternal, of life everlasting. Look at what the Lord says in verse 15 before our text. He says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Down to the beginning of verse 18 of the same chapter, notice again what the Lord Jesus says. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Then again, look at the beginning of the final verse of the chapter, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The great prize, the great hope of everlasting life. It's for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, whoever they are, whatever their background is, who puts their trust in Jesus Christ alone to be their Saviour. And friend, the moment you put your trust in Christ as your Saviour, you too will receive this great gift, this great prize of life eternal, of life everlasting. That's the gospel. You think tonight of all the false religions of this world. They would say you must do this, you must do that to have everlasting life. You must go here, you must go there. You must give this or do that. That's the thinking of man. That's the natural mind of man. But friend, nothing could be further from the truth. You see, the Word of God makes it abundantly clear. The moment you come as a sinner to Christ, the moment you trust in Him alone, you shall be saved. You shall have everlasting life. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. In other words, the person who is trusting in Christ, the person who has realized that Christ has died upon the cross for them, they have everlasting life. Let me ask, is that you in this meeting tonight? Have you trusted Christ? Do you know Him as your Savior? Are you longing for that peace with God, that pardon for sin, that hope of life eternal? Then I urge you tonight, I plead with you for the eternal well-being of your soul, to come by faith to Christ and to trust Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to conclude our service.